Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho!
Good Lord, it was all going on at once there, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the Fairbrother artisanal hand-reared organic goose that is Robert Wilson, and with me I have the worm-ridden Grange Farm turkey that is...
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of the Ambridge Apprentice, folks, is you. This week's Dumpty Dum, which I thought it had overtones of Psycho in it as well. I don't know whether you...
No,
as indeed
not.
Do we. This week's Dumpty Dum, good folks, is from Fat Bloke Talking on the Twitters and his son, Alex. Lucy, if someone wants to send us a festive Dumpty Dum in 52 weeks' time, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction or talk all the way through your grandchild's nativity. Then call us on 02030313105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups. And for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek for learning the back bedroom. Derek is very excited as he's put his decorations up, and once he's given them a rinse, he'll be putting them on the tree.
Can you put tinsel in the dishwasher? I don't know.
Probably.
I wouldn't know. And all that... Anyway, all that stuff on Twitter about me was it's a big lie. On this week's episode, we hear views from Andrew, who's a believer in the law of Grundy. Martin, who's got his eye on Tom. Glynn, who thinks Shula might need to see the doctor. Witherspoon, who's angry Santa. Emily, who's... well, angry feminist, and Dusty Substances, the wrong sort of listener who's desperate for a normal birth. But first, let's brace ourselves for Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
"'Twas the week before Christmas when all through Ambridge not a creature was stirring, not even a... fridge. The stockings were hung by Lillian with care in hopes that Matt Crawford soon would be there. Or did she hope? No, she did not. The SS Crawford has sailed out of Felpersham for the last time, I feel. Justin and Lillian finally had the conversation they should have had about a bloody month ago, namely, hang on, when you said, I took that to mean that you didn't want to marry me and I had to get out of what used to be my house and the entire wedding was off, so without consulting you I've trundled off, uninvited everybody and cancelled the whole thing. Was that wrong? Anyway, Lillian went off to the stables for a refreshing ride until Shula, trailing the smell of death as usual, loomed up from behind a bucket and said, "Oh, I'm sorry your life is ruined. Just out of interest, were you involved in the con that rendered Auntie Cardboard bankrupt? Were you, though? Do tell me, because I haven't heard anything miserable all morning and I do miss it." Lillian, trying to divert Shula as she read out the obituary column from the Borchester Echo, tried to get her to understand the excitement of a bit of extramarital "How's your father?" "Perhaps I should try having an affair," said Shula wistfully. "Oh, you're serious," said Lillian. "Shula, quite frankly, I'm staggered you've managed to get two men to sleep with you. One of them's dead, and the GP was so desperate to get away from your furtive approaches that he left the village halfway through a hemorrhoidectomy, and we never saw him again." Over at Grange Farm, Eddie was pasteurising in the bath. Apparently last time, Clary said he left a damp patch on the ceiling. Blimey, no need to show off, Eddie. Eddie and Joe were bottling their tumble tussock and were getting near the bottom of the barrel. And if that isn't a segue to the Christmas show, I don't know what is. The Grundys have got their act together for Christmas, which is more than Alan has. Alan thought he'd killed off the Christmas panto. He told Linda, a.k.a. Nightshade, to shove her roll up her carabosse. Linda oddly seems to be playing the role of Nightshade as if she's the Count from Sesame Street. Too! Ha! 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 Alan, if you had killed off the Ambridge panto, it would have been the single greatest thing you have ever done. You could have saved a flaxen-haired infant from the path of a runaway combine, and no one would thank you as much as they would do if you prevented us from having to listen to terrible rhymes, the threatened walkout, the let's all pull together speech, and the inevitable roars of applause. Lily and Freddie had a personality transplant and started being the world's nicest children. "Oh, Mama, come with us and survey your wonderful home and stables and coach house and ice rink and forest. And you did all that, Mama. You did it all just by marrying a man. Well done, you." Anyway, it was the twins' birthday, so Elizabeth trotted off to Borchester to the bloody vault, as you do. Why haven't I got a vault? I need somewhere to put my valuables in, my bronze life-saving certificate, and my signed photograph of Royfield Brown. Anyway,
you've got one.
Lily...
I've got two.
Lily got a picture and Freddie got an emerald and diamond ring. Of all the daft bugger things to give an entirely irresponsible moronic 18-year-old boy with an incipient drug problem, he'll sell the ring and roll up and smoke the picture. I can't help feeling that Gran suspects something, said Pip, still coming to terms with the fact that she's up the clanger. The trouble is with Hootie, Pip, is that she's a paranoid's dream. Has anyone else noticed how often people say, "Has anyone seen Gran? Oh, there she is, crouched behind that hat stand." She tiptoes round Brookfield, bursting into rooms without knocking, always wants to know where everyone is. Even if you weren't carrying the spawn of a fair brethren, it must be like living with Andy McNab. There was a weird scene with David and Pip and the cows. I don't know what they were doing, but it sounded as if they were marking them out of 10, but the marks happened after a lot of heavy breathing and straining. I don't know what it was, I don't want to know, but I don't want to hear it again. Johnny has realised that he's snatching the work from the mouths of the starving poor. Isn't privilege brilliant? After Edmer Grundy threw cans of baked beans at his head in the shop. So he's told Adam that he's worried he might be too thick to remember to put the tractor drink in the tractor so the tractor gets thirsty and stops. So instead, Adam will hire Wat Tyler, a.k.a. Ed Grundy, and Emma will get her a counsellor's house for counsellors' families. Meanwhile, back at the House of Usher with horses, there was more, "What's the matter, Shula?" "Nothing." "What's the matter?" "Nothing." In a despairing effort to cheer her up, Alistair has booked them a night in an ice hotel. Because being kept in the dark, uncomfortable and cold with drips is just home from home for anyone that's married into the Archer family. The end.
Well, I did say on Twitter that by the way, it's great to be back in the saddle after, 7 days. But I did say on Twitter that I thought that going on holiday to an ice hotel was a perfect metaphor for their relationship, wasn't it? It was just... But I did think, if you're going for a romantic holiday in an ice hotel, is the bed made of ice as well?
No, it's got fur rugs on it.
Okay. But you know what happens when it's cold to men?
Oh, shrinkage.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Do you think Shula will notice?
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine.
Well, she's already caught comparing his dangly bits to half the stallions in Ambridge.
I was going to say, yeah, you do set the bar a bit high, really, if you spend a lot of time around horses, don't you? You have to set the bar high.
Yes,
otherwise
you do.
They keep bashing into
with
it.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yes, oh yes.
God. Anyway, shall we raise the tone a little bit?
And move on from horse penises.
Yes, and yeah. Let's. I'm a bit giddy now. I think.
Do you know what? They have to clean them out.
What? Horse penises.
Mm.
With what?
They get a bit. Well, you have
what,
to.
The end. The foreskin. You mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh.
Because they get a bit kind of claggy in them.
Is
well,
that
like
what
would,
those
really?
Big Q-tips on Gladiator on ITV are for? Originally.
Not with a Q-tip. You have to. It's much more hands-on than that. Yes, I've seen it done.
Oh my God! Do you know? Okay, I won't mention any names, but a friend moving to porcine penile palpation. I had a friend of mine, and he's a geneticist, and a part of his job used to be to toss off pigs.
To get, like Rebecca Lewes did on that show.
Yes, yeah, and he said you just use your thumb at the end of it, at the corkscrew bit. You just use your thumb. Now, everyone out there, I'm not suggesting this is a technique you should use on a partner, but apparently it worked quite
unless
quickly.
Your partner is a pig, in which case, go ahead. But if your partner is a pig, you've probably got bigger problems.
Okay, how did we get here so quickly?
I don't know. We are renowned for talking cock, but we've never done it in
literally
in such a blatant way before.
So anyway, what have you been up to? Because yeah. I hear you've had a bit of a delicate head recently.
could have phrased that better. Yes. No,
oh,
I was
no,
there.
I didn't mean that. Well, you should have clipped your fingernails, shouldn't you?
It was it was a big night out, and yes, so I was feeling a little bit sleepy.
Oh,
I was feeling
yes. Well, sleepy. I had a long lunch yesterday, so
yes.
But I was all right today. I didn't overindulge, which is it's a new thing for me, really. Well, there we are.
Very good.
But you're all right now, are you?
Fine.
Good. All right. So, should we have a chat about this week's show, or do you want to dive straight into the calls?
Let's do the calls, because we've got a gazillion.
I know, we've got... Well, shall we have the first of the gazillions? Hang on, let's...
Yes. Andrew Horn is the first of the gazillions.
Marvellous.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Greetings, Earthlings. Andrew Horn here. I'd like to wish all you Dumpty Dummers a very happy Christmas. Hope you have a fabulous time. It's been a great year on the Archers, much more enjoyable this year, I think. And it is always lovely to share it with like-minded individuals. And the other thing that's playing on my mind is the Grundys. I do hope they have a lovely Christmas, but it is Grundy's law in the Archers that things go wrong whenever they're getting settled. So they've sold all their turkeys early. They've got the great cider, and everything is going all right for them. So it's all going to go nipples aloft, in the words of great Uncle God Kerry, before Christmas. I haven't listened to Friday's episode, so it may already have happened, but I think it's coming, and it's really sad because Clary Love, she deserves a great Christmas. Anyway, I shall speak to you in the new year. Have fun. Bye.
Bye. Oh, bye. That's nice. It is a festive episode of Dumpty Dum this week. Lots of people wishing everyone a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
And I'm finally getting into the festive mood. But no need to put a bloody downer on it, mate, is there? I mean, the only thing... Well, you know, I speak as I find, but just as I was getting a smile on my face, and you have to say, oh, yeah, impending doom for the Grundys.
He's absolutely right, though.
I know he is, and that's why I'm bloody annoyed.
Because they've said it too many times. I can't believe, Eddie, that we've get rid of all they turkeys already. And as soon as she says, I think, well, they're all going to be winging their way back. Not literally, obviously, because they're dead. But, you know, with either worms or maggots, or they'll be funny, or something will be wrong with them.
Do you think? Or there is the spectre of the black-cloaked scythe carrier, isn't there? That always looms over Ambridge.
Shit, we haven't heard Joe for ages.
No. I mean, the last time...
Yes, we did.
He was no good together, weren't they?
Yeah. No, he was moaning about the Eddie overfilling the bath.
Yeah.
Have we had Peggy?
Peggy's a little faint.
Can you hear the beating of wings, Robert?
I do. I imagine that someone will find a single white feather on their bedspread on Christmas morning. Have we actually had a Christmas Day death on Ambridge?
No.
We've had New Year's Eve, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
But not a Christmas Day death. So,
no.
I don't want Joe to die, though, but he's bloody old.
He is bloody old. But he's on quite good form now. He's all perked up again now. Bartleby's better, isn't he?
Yeah, well, okay. Someone's got a call.
It's Piggy that's looking a bit wobbly because she was all upset about Auntie Cardboard, wasn't she?
Hmm, okay. So what? Ooh, so you,
dear.
So
now you've depressed me as well.
Well, we'll turn this on a sixpence.
Glyn!
And we'll get...
Oh, no, it wasn't Glyn, was it?
Andrew!
It's Andrew Horn! Andrew!
No, I don't... You know what? I think for once, the Grundys are going to have a good Christmas. Come on. Let's have a little optimism and faith.
Well, they had a good Christmas when they did the Grundy World of Christmas.
Yeah.
That went quite well. Everything since then has been a bit pants. So, yeah, maybe they are due a good one, but it means someone else has got to have a terrible one.
Yeah.
Someone else has got to either be flooded or their house sets on fire or something.
Yeah, well...
Or maybe just nothing will happen and it will all be quite uneventful.
Brookfield will have a terrible Christmas because there's got to be that reveal, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Santa's little helper will have to be revealed.
Yeah, when she's not drinking... Because she won't be drinking and she won't be eating if there's a few things that she won't be able to eat and stuff. And
Borsetshire Blues off the menu, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And Jill will twig, won't she?
Yes. And there'll be plenty of hooting to be done.
Yes. She'll be like a little cross owl.
Okay. And
right,
I hope,
to do Martin now.
I hope you're wrong, but it's
we think you're right.
It's at least 50-50, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, Martin Lightburn now.
Hello, Lucy, Royfield and Robert and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. I hope we're all prepared for a wonderful Christmas. This is Martin Lightburn on the Twitters as Fat Bloke Talking and writer of the blog What Rob Did Next. I'm a first-time caller in and chosen a week where I've got a cold and sound like Barry White. I'm not usually so masculine sounding. I'm not sure of my vintage, having listened at my mother's knee, but I started listening in my own right about the time of Mark Hebden's crash. So does that make me a Dan Archer? My day job is in branding workwear, so I could make some lovely tabards for the village shop.
Mm.
I just wanted to ring in this week with a plot prediction. I think it was Tom who mowed down Matt that night. Here's my theory. There were four families affected by Matt since his return. Ian and Adam, Justin and Lillian, and Alistair and Shula, and the Bridge Farm crowd. We've only heard fallout from three of those since Tom was in the pub that night. Matt was even offering him drinks and teasing him. Tom only lives on the green and could easily get back to his car in time to play Splat the Mat. What better revenge for costing them $100,000? I'm now more sure of it since Lillian mentioned the land sale again on Friday out of the blue, reminding us all of it. So here are my Christmas predictions. Justin and Lillian get married after all. Pip refuses some kind of unpasteurised cheese at Brookfield and lets slip she's pregnant. And for New Year's, Tom gets his collar felt by Harrison and becomes a sausage king of D-Wing.
I'd
also like to have a little grumble about some of the jokes at poor Ian's expense. Having been told something similar myself from a doctor post-chemo, I'm a bit sensitive to Jaffa and firing blanks jokes. Would we be quite so glib over a woman's fertility? However, in our case, we did have that miracle baby, who with his blonde hair and grey eyes, he does look more like the milkman than me. Anyway, grumble over, love the show and hope you all have a wonderful Christmas. Kiss, kiss.
Sorry about that, Martin. You're absolutely right as well. I think there are double.
I did actually think about that when I was writing the thing, because it's weird. I wouldn't make jokes about, and I didn't make jokes about when Toby was unable to get it up that time. Do you remember? When he was with Pip.
No, but I've got a very interesting image in my mind at the moment.
And I didn't write a joke about that because I think that's a really painful thing for men, but somehow, and you know, that expectation to perform, but somehow there was something, I did think about it, but then I rationalised it and decided it was all right to make jokes about him firing blanks or whatever. But
yeah, and I think there are more.
It isn't, you're right. Mm. But then I shouldn't make jokes about Lillian being old and trying to be younger than she is. I shouldn't make jokes about, you know, Auntie Cardboard being overweight. I shouldn't make, you know, I shouldn't make jokes about anything, really. But then the monologue would be quite short.
Yes. Yeah, but... And I think the other thing is that there are more... There are more euphemisms as such for male infertility, aren't there? And that are comic. But anyway, you...
I actually looked them up when I was writing it, and there's shed loads. There's none for women. None.
There's just barren, and that's about it, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that the prognosis was wrong.
It's an interesting thing, and I'm sorry... Martin, but I'm very glad that you've got a little blonde-haired, grey-eyed milkman's son, or whatever it is.
Sounds like a lovely
I presume
man.
He, that was, I know, was that Alex that it's was singing Alex, with him, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Well, there you go. Well, as you know, no offence intended from Lucy. I'm the one who intentionally offends people, so we won't do it again.
What do we think about Tom, though? Tom as suspect number one.
No.
We haven't heard Tom for ages.
Yeah, no, I don't...
He's in pantomime somewhere, isn't he? I betcha.
Yeah, it definitely. He's playing the rear end of a horse.
Yeah.
Definitely. I don't think so. I don't think it will turn out to be any of the main Archer's characters. Because that is... Why bring... Tom's been back... New Tom's been here for 2 years or so, hasn't he? Since the beginning of the... Well, maybe 3 years. Huh, who knows?
Yeah.
If...
Since Kirsty. Yeah,
if he has his collar felt... And then that's a hit and run. That's a jail term. That you're not going to have a second member of Bridge Farm Archers in prison.
That's
very true.
I mean,
that's more coincidental than the number of people who have fertility problems or other kinds of...
Or who get pregnant while using contraception on a one-night stand. Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
See, also Kirsty and... There must be something in the water that stops... condoms working.
I was about to say that, yes. Well, sulfuric acid? I don't know. Certainly melt the teat, wouldn't it?
Should we do Glyn now?
Yes, let me put my wine glass down and we'll do Glyn. Here's Glyn.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. First, may I wish everyone at Dumpty Dum and everyone in Dumpty Dumland a very Merry Christmas or other holiday or festival you may celebrate at this time, and a great 2018 to everybody. In regard to the Archers, will Justin give Lillian a second chance? Yes. And the Pip storyline, it could only be more clunky if it was about a car with wooden wheels. More interesting
wheels.
Stuff, I think Shula is suffering from depression. And I don't mean she's sort of depressed because she's married to Alistair or anything like that. I think she is suffering from clinical depression or similar. I think she's exhibiting all the signs of that. I suspect she'll have a great holiday, but when she comes back in the new year, she will crash and burn, and we will see that the black dog has got her very seriously. And I think that is going to be a depression storyline in the early new year. We'll see how that plays out. Ed, Home Farm, Johnny, etc. I can't see why Ed would take the Home Farm job. He has got he's a contractor. He's got his own piece of kit. What does he do with the tractor? If he takes the Home Farm job, does he sell it? He's still got a loan to pay off on it. And Cosmo pointed out on Twitter he's unlikely to get the amount he needs to pay off the loan. Perhaps he'll sell the tractor, use the money to go towards the deposit on a house, and then lo and behold, as soon as they're into the house, for some reason he'll get laid off or sacked by Home Farm. Results penury. Well, on that happy note, it's time to say thank you all and a good week to everyone in Dumpty.
And he gets cut off at 2 minutes dead. But that's not bad. Not bad timing. I mean, you're about a second off, so we'll forgive you that. God, isn't everyone full of the joys of bloody Christmas at the moment? Oh yeah, he's going to go. Yeah, they're going to go
but
penury.
It's because
it's Bob Cratchit. You know,
it's because we're all waiting. It's all going too well. We haven't. You know, normally there's some kind of cliffhanger moment around Christmas time. And we haven't really got it at the minute. You know, we all thought Christmas would be the time when Rob flipped last year, and it wasn't. It was Easter. You know, it was. You've always got to keep a weather eye on what's coming on the horizon. What's kind of, you know, what who is going to cop it, because somebody always does. I think. Oh, I don't know. I'm still. My money's still on a an oldie death, to be honest.
Because it's about time. We need to. There needs to be a bit of weeding done, doesn't there?
There can't be all these there can't be all these people getting pregnant everywhere and nobody's, you know, shuffling off the mortal coil the other end, really.
So do you think there's a tradition that when one new person comes in, someone else in that particular family
has to die?
So it will be Jill?
Oh, no.
What I could do now is just randomly mention old people on the Archers and then you go, oh, like that, because that's all I'm doing. There's no insight to this.
Hey, I tell you what, if Piggy died, do you think she'd leave her house to Auntie Cardboard?
Oh, she might have done that, yes. She said she'd look after her.
Because she's left that cottage to Helen, hasn't she? Well, she's left it to Helen and Rob, but then I think she changed it to just Helen, the lodge.
So what other house does she have? She has a... She's worked one...
Whichever one she's... Where the hell is she living now?
The lodge, isn't she?
She's living in the lodge?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, well, she can't leave it to Auntie Cardboard then, because it's promised to Helen.
But what about the flat over the shop? Who lives in that now?
Oh God.
Fallon.
Fallon did. She moved out. Did... Kirsty's living with Roy.
Who was that? Who was that girl? Who it was? Greg's daughter, wasn't it? Because I remember this. This is when I first started listening. Greg's daughter lived there. What was her name? Began with a J or something, didn't it?
I can't remember the his French wife's daughter.
Yeah, Janice, not Janice, Jeanette.
No.
Jezebel.
I can't remember
Jeanne. Anyway, someone will email in and tell us.
Yes,
because there are plenty of properties for people to move into. Maybe Justin will feel solid. No,
well, there apparently aren't when people need somewhere to move to, but when someone new comes to the village, we can always find a place for them. I've noticed.
Yes, exactly.
It's amazing. They just pop up as required and then fuck off again when they're not required. It's amazing, you know. It's like these little houses that just grow like mushrooms and then burst and vanish.
It's almost like they're making it up as they go along, isn't it?
I know. You'd think that, wouldn't you? Of course, we know they're not. Did you see, by the way, Kerry Davis's tweet, which I thought was interesting? He said something like, forgive me, Kerry, if you're listening, I am paraphrasing this like crazy. He said something like, I've only got room for 39 characters in what I've written, but I've written 41, so who shall I get rid of?
Yes.
And we forget that they have a limit. They have a limit on budget on how many people they can pay to do that thing. And budgets are getting smaller and smaller and smaller at the BBC. There's a lot of general sort of, you know, worry about how long the licence fee is going to be around and kind of, you know, budgets going everywhere. Like there is in many, many businesses are being sort of rationalised and stuff. So, you know, we kind of forget that little bit. I think and just, you know, we're like Ben Hur, we just want a cast of thousands with everybody chipping in all the time.
And I think there's also another rationale for that though, isn't there? In that if you have too many characters in a given week, it does tend to get like an argument in a pub bar, doesn't it? That people talking over
and you
each
just
other.
Get lots of little tiny broken storylines and nothing gets finished.
So I think essentially it's there because of budgetary concerns or constraints, but sometimes it's good to I can't believe I'm saying this. Sometimes it's good to have limitations and parameters that force you to, like we do at Dumpty Dum, that force you to be creative in how you get the product across. But but we're being too sensible now. I think we should go back to horse.
But he's because Kerry said something like, oh, that's good, I managed to get in one character as being mentioned by two others, so therefore they don't need to appear, you know.
Kathy,
which is where Hello You Two came from. Yeah, exactly. See you, Kathy. Right. Was that Kathy I saw then? Yes. She was with Jamie and...
You know what I'm going to get? You know you get those little miniature doors that you use for sound effects. I think I'm just going to have one on my desk here. That then whenever we mention Kathy, I'm just going to and close them the door.
Do you know what? I bought William for Halloween once. I bought him a little sound effect box that has lots of Halloween noises on it. And one of them is a door. So I should have that when I can find it.
And I think we probably need to get a cow sound effect as well, because all we've got is sheep. Yeah. We need a... There you are. Yeah. That is it.
Excellent. Well, we'll just use you. That's
fair enough. Is it time for Witherspoon?
And playing the cow, Robert Wilson. Yes, please. Okay.
Oh, I nearly uploaded the wrong Witherspoon, but I didn't. So I've been a good Robert this week.
We have two Witherspoons?
Yeah, I think it was from last week. Anyway, this is Bad Santa Witherspoon.
Greetings, Lucy, Royfield, Yul Kobert, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. The tree is up and the Hanukkah candles are being lit. It's holiday season at our home and in Ambridge. What will it bring? Well, it looks like it's one step closer to a wedding for Lillian and Justin. As Justin made clear, he wasn't pulling the plug on it with his comments last week. The two are finally stripping away their neurotic defenses, guarding against intimacy. Well done, I say. And now we must address Pip. Last week, lost amongst my psychoanalysis of Ian, I said the following, quote, I don't know what's going to happen. It seems like Pip will terminate the pregnancy, but why have the storyline then? Perhaps the writers are looking to 20 to 50 years in the future when Ambridge will have to be repopulated, end quote. Oh, we were agonizingly so close to having Pip move on with her life. I just found that clinic scene downright painful. And now it looks like we'll have to deal with Pip and Toby as parents, and David and Ruth, and us being tortured by this. I still don't see Pip giving up the baby to Ian and Adam. I could almost see Pip being around to see the child grow up, and even being in his or her life as the mother, but certainly not Toby as the fourth wheel. Whichever way the storyline turns out, I feel it's a big mistake. Sorry to be angry, Santa. Maybe there will be happier news next time. Talk to you all soon.
See ya. Yeah, another doomsayer. Oh, you're all fucking hell. You know, I agree. And I said before, oh, thank God that she's going to end this pregnancy, so therefore we don't have to go through another 9 months of someone being pregnant, because it's not that interesting. It's nice in real life. I've colleagues at work, three or four in the last year, that have had children or have gone off on maternity leave, and you know, and it's how we're all here after all. But
well, exactly.
It doesn't
make for good
it
radio.
No.
If we play Emily now, she has a very interesting take on this.
Okay, let's do that.
Hi, it's Emily. That's Emily Thomas 73 on the Twitters. And I'm just calling in about Pip's recent storyline. I was listening to what New York Nigel was saying about heteronormative couples sort of taking for granted that they can have children. And I agree with a lot of what he said. And I think, you know, whether you can't have children because of LGBTQ issues or because of fertility issues, and Ian has both at the moment, what really annoys me and what really doesn't feel like a privilege is how women's storylines are solely motivated by marriage, pregnancy, and rape. It really feels very, it doesn't feel genuine to me at all. You know, Elizabeth is basically reliving her history with Pip's storyline. Phoebe's had a pregnancy scare. Look, I'm a woman in my 20s. I know one other of my peers who's had a baby. Two of my friends are international best-selling authors. Four have founded their own business. And aside from giving me an inferiority complex, I think it's pretty clear that women are not solely motivated by these factors. You know, it's 2017. This has been the year when women have said, no, no more. We're not putting up with it anymore. And right now, as ludicrous as it sounds, what I'm really holding out for is I want Lily Pargeter to become Instagram famous with 3 million followers. I want her own YouTube channel. I want her to create her own makeup line. And I want that her to challenge Kylie Jenner to the e-commerce makeup line crown. Because right now, that's a more plausible female-orientated storyline than anything else we're seeing in Ambridge. And it would make me a lot less angry. Thank you.
Abso-fucking-lutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. And thanks for calling in. And you know what? I'm beginning to sound like an anti-baby person. And, you know, I don't have kids myself. I've never been married. It doesn't mean that I, you know, wouldn't ever want to do that. I guess I've said that in my life before. I know I've said that in my life. But that's because I hadn't met the right person or whatever. But she's absolutely right. There's just this focus that the women in Ambridge sometimes, and I love the Archers, please do not, I mean, I wouldn't be here doing this. It's not only because I love Lucy and Royfield that I'm here, it's because I love the Archers too. But the women in Ambridge seem to be treated very similarly to the fucking cattle, that they're just there to chew the cud and produce calves. And women have so much. The women in my life, I have several friends. Yes, I am mid-rant. I have several friends who are in their 50s and they've had careers and they haven't gone off and produced kids because that it's difficult to be able to do that and have a successful career for a lot of women. And there's no one in this soap opera that personifies that. And within a cast of characters this large, there would be several like that, especially when there's such a predominance of highly educated middle-class people. I'll take a breath now. Have you taken your pills, Robert?
Yes! Next! I think you're right. Unfortunately, in terms of soap operas and plots, births, marriages and deaths are what move plots
yes,
on.
Yes, you're absolutely right there.
They've tried to, you know, we've now got the birth issue with Ian and Adam, so at least they're sort of widening it out. It's always been a soap, you know, we do have sodding high standards for this thing. We really yes. do. It's always been a soap opera trope that, you know, you have one shag, you're immediately pregnant. The pregnancy apparently takes about a week and a half. And then you give birth in the back of a cab on the way to the hospital. You know, it's always very, very dramatic and exciting. And it's not just the normal boring thing. Oh, yeah, she had the baby. Yeah, it was all fine. Yeah, no drama at all. Really? Oh, I know. I completely take Emily's point. I completely take your point. But you know, this is, and we do have, you know, they are trying to move things on. I mean, we had Ruth, who is not at all the archetypal farmer's wife. She's a shit cook. She's not interested in house stuff. She wants to be a farmer. She's a career yeah. farmer. And obviously she's had the children as well, and she does all
right.
of it.
But so is Pip. And so to just trip up yeah. like this seems
yeah.
weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, exactly. The tripping up is the absolute perfect expression, yes. Yeah,
so we've got
I
Matt
agree.
Splatt, I Pip agree. Trip.
And also we've kind of had... We've had the Pip trip. We've had Kirsty having a miscarriage. We've had Brenda thinking... Not Brenda, who am I talking about? Phoebe thinking she was pregnant and then wasn't. We've had an awful... You know... We've had more pregnancy tests in Ambridge in the last year than I think I can ever remember. Yeah. It does seem to be like the go-to plot solution when you're a bit stuck. Oh, let's make one of them pregnant.
Especially when you consider that the birth rate in middle-class white females is going down at the moment.
Yeah. There are no older women mothers in the Archers.
And that's what's happening in that.
There's yeah. nobody over. Yeah. The mothers over sort of 35 and upwards is now the, you know, is now the trend.
How old were you when you started your family?
That hasn't happened. 30.
Okay. And that's about yeah. average, isn't yeah. it, I guess?
All right. Yeah, I guess,
And
yeah.
Pip is 23, 24. I mean, it's not yeah. too young to have kids. Come on, for God's sake. I mean, human evolution, you'd start at 16 or 18 or whatever. But it just seems odd. And what purpose is it? We know what purpose it's serving. It's throwing that fair brethren spawn into Brookfield, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the key thing that it's bringing. That's what all that Grace stuff was last year when Jill was going berserk about Grace and, you know, I'm still haunted by her ghost and blah, blah, blah. And now she's going to have a grandchild.
So maybe this will...
related to Grace.
But obviously Jill will love this grandchild. So maybe this is...
No, you don't know. I mean, people who have severe family grudges can definitely pass them on to the children.
Okay, have we got any cheery callers in this? I mean, I'm nowhere near a razor blade, but I'm on a risk list.
Let's have Dusty Substances. Okay.
Come on, Dusty. Cheer us up.
Right, it's all resting on it you, is. Dusty. Hello.
It's Dusty Substances here, the wrong sort of listener. Currently bracing myself for the prospect of Pip not having a termination, as much as I was bracing myself for her having one, really. The thought occurs to me that I don't think I can remember the last time a stable and solid couple in a relationship in Ambridge had a baby without any drama attached to it at all. I mean, we've had babies miscarried, we've had unexpected babies yep. that were wanted or not wanted in equal measure. We've had more fertility problems in a tiny little village over the last few decades than probably any other six cities put together. We go far enough back. Tom and Prue couldn't have children. Auntie Cardboard couldn't have children. Shula went through all her fertility issues. It was just one thing after another. And now we've got Ian and Adam.
Yeah.
Could we not just have a normal pregnancy at some point within a couple that are happy together and want a baby? Anyway, happy Christmas to everybody. And I look forward to a wonderful new year of everybody Dumpty Dummy. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Dusty Substances.
Well, everything's resting now on Fallon and Harrison.
Oh, crikey.
But I don't think Fallon is exactly the baby type at the moment. Is she,
no,
certainly?
No. Well, it would be unrealistic for everyone to just burst forth with offspring because, I mean, the community shop wouldn't be able to cope with the Pampers deliveries because they'd be coming on a fucking Arctic lorry, wouldn't it? So,
yes, exactly.
But it looks like everyone is in broad agreement with our theory.
Yes, no more births.
No.
Cows, yes. Sheep, yes. Just enough.
And the other thing is, they're just...
I don't want to see another pregnancy test.
They're
in
lining
Ambridge.
Up. No. How many fucking silent characters are they lining up? Because we won't hear a thing from them. We'll hear from them until they're four.
No.
And then from four until 14, we won't hear a bloody thing.
Yes, Rob. And then. But imagine then. Oh. Do you reckon we'll still be doing it by then? And there will be all these new ones that will say, I can remember when I was born. I can remember when I was conceived.
Well, that's going to be Dumpty Dum 10,000 or something like that, isn't it? I don't know. Well, no, that actually will probably be...
Oh, my God. We'll all be the loony bin by then.
We'll be pushing up daisies one way or the other, won't we? Okay.
No.
Well, 10,000. Right, let's divide. 10,000 divide...
No, don't. Look, we're trying to be cheerful. Let's not talk about when we're going to die, for goodness sake.
Oh, dear. I've got a big smile on my face, though. I'm enjoying this.
You're enjoying the gloom.
Yes, I am indeed. Oh, goodness. Oh, well, I don't think I have much to add about babies now. Should we take an ad break?
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Look what free speech has gotten you, right? And if free speech is going to bring a Hitler to power, are you still going to defend the rights of those people to speak?
If you talk about the things that affect your daily life.
The secret to being a good actor.
I don't really care, actually, whether Britain remains Britain.
His dad was actually murdered in front of him.
Marine Le Pen has changed the Front National.
If it's like kind of like a documentary investigative reporting, serialized true crime, that often gets into questions about the justice system or the media.
In an uncertain world, there's always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people, the backdrop of great tunes, and allocate 15 minutes to both.
Good question. Really good question.
And now it's time to sit back, pour yourself a glass of port, grab a mince pie, and chuck a carrot out of the window for Rudolph as we settle down for Mr. Yokel Bear's social media roundup of the week.
Hello, Dumpty Dum, it's Yokel Bear here calling with the social media roundup. You'll have to bear with me because I am full of lurgy at the moment and my voice keeps going. I probably sound a bit like Bob Hoskins at the moment. but let's see how far we get through this, eh? So jumping right in, we started the week by asking about what was the most enjoyable or possibly annoying plot lines this year. I think Witherspoon spoke for a lot of us and said the best, or certainly the best episode, was the handling of Caroline, the death of Caroline. We'd all felt as though we'd lost a friend. Yeah, those episodes around that, leading up and including the funeral, I think were some of the best writing we've seen on The Archers for a long while. But also as well, Martin Lightburn said the least favourite story was the sale of Woodbine Cottage. Harrison Fallon end up spending every penny they had and putting Harrison's parents further in debt to live in the house that they're already living in. It didn't really go anywhere apart from the fact there was a bit of to and fro in, and then they bought the house. Mary Elizabeth says, I didn't enjoy the whole Matt Crawford storylines. No, in retrospect, do you know what? I really didn't enjoy it. It's just created so much mayhem and it just felt like, I'm not a big fan of that storyline. But Penelope Matheson posts something that really got me thinking. She said, struggling to find a really enjoyable storyline. I feel it's plumb new depths this year. Least favourite, again, Lillian and Justin. But what got me thinking was that actually I've kind of been thinking this myself. I don't quite know why, but the plot lines haven't been as enjoyable as previous ones. Now, I think we have to obviously take into account the Rob Titchener factor, when the kind of tension level was built up so much. But I don't know, it's sometimes I feel that, I like the kind of day-to-day stuff. I like the tiny little social interactions and what have you. But it just didn't seem to be hitting it for me sometimes. And I don't really know why. I need to probably think that through a little bit more. So, Penelope, yeah, I think I'm with you on that. We also talked about the birthday presents from Nigel to to Freddie and Lily, and asked, was it poignant or was it just a little bit creepy? A few people thought it was creepy, but I think Susanna Zabulis really summed up a lot of people's thoughts, which it was poignant, moving and just lovely. And Susanna also told a story about her husband's mother left each of their daughters some money. And go and have a look at that post. It's lovely. It's absolutely lovely. Though Andrew Langstone was a little more cynical and said Freddie will have sold that ring within a month. And judging by the Twitter comments during the omnibus today, I think that's a popular view. We also had a bit of controversy this week. We had a bit of a heated debate because I posted that I quite like Eddie. I've got a bit of a soft spot for Eddie, and I know he can be a bit of a lovable rogue, though obviously some people thought he was far worse than that. But I've always kind of held a torch for the Grundys. I think they represent, you know, something different from the kind of middle-class farmers, and I've spoken about kind of class before on the podcast. Laurie McDonald kind of agreed with me and said he's got Clary Love's best interests and tempering influence. They've seen hard times, those Grundys. Yeah, I think that's true. But Heather Cook was the other side of the coin, said he's pretty much irredeemable in my eyes. He's thoughtless, rude and mean. He doesn't care about Clary and he gets unreasonably annoyed when she asks things of him. Yeah, I think, you know, I can see why people would see this. Paul Schluss also made a really good point. Paul said he serves a very clear purpose. He's the village idiot. And as an old stereotype, it's not very funny. And in a show that no longer focuses exclusively on the middle class farming set, it's in pretty questionable taste. Yeah, I can see what you're saying there. But I also think it is largely focused on the middle class farming set. I mean, there is a lot of the Grundys in there. But when you look at the kind of the balance, there's far more middle class characters in the Archers than there are working class characters. So I'm kind of still holding a bit of a torch there for the Grundys. Other people, I'm going to stick with this just for a bit. Liz Villaloba says, she completely agreed with me. Well done, Liz. That's the spirit. Eddie and long-suffering Clary, Clary may be pantomime caricatures, but they warm my heart with their daftness. Mm-hmm. Stephanie Power said, though, that whole bit of the house and Oliver left a bitter taste in the mouth. And I think you're right. Yeah, that was not Eddie's finest hour. But I want to end this bit. It was Geeta Beecroft really just told it like it is. Just said, nah, mate, he gets on my tits. Well done, Geeta. you tell it. We also talked about whether Linda is a good fairy or a bad fairy. There were some great little short answers. Paul Green, she said, she's a fabulously flawed fairy. Peter Mabbott said, interfering busybody fairy. Mary Ranson said, upper self fairy. Audrian Delgado Covarrubias said, sniffy fairy. I quite like the sniffy fairy. That one might stick. We've also had other things. We've been talking about this stuff on the forum as well. And this stuff on... we've done a thread about Johnny. Did he do the right thing with the job? But my voice is beginning to go. So I'm going to call it a day before I start getting really croaky. So that's social media roundup. See you on the Facebook. See you on the forum. And it's Millie Bell next week. So look forward to that. Okay then. Bye.
Great. Thanks, Yokel Bear. Bye. I think more of our contributors should have laryngitis or cold viruses. Because Martin was lovely and he sounded very nice. And Yokel Bear sounded very smooth too. Maybe next week I'll have a throat infection and we'll really show you what a golden voice can sound like. God, I'm a stuck-up arrogant twat, aren't I?
Well, one doesn't like to say anything, Robert.
Don't like Robert. To state the obvious, do you?
No.
God, that was quite a good social media roundup this week. There was a lot of Well, there's a bit of Grundy bashing there. And I know that... And I'm on Yokel Bear's side as far as the Grundys are concerned. And whenever anyone says to me, well, you know, the Grundys are just light relief and they're treated as comic characters. And yes, they are. And that's their role in life. But they have had some stories that were really touching to me. And you remember when Clary went missing?
Yeah.
And
oh God,
that,
yeah.
That I was listening to the I was listening to the Omnibus edition, and on my iPhone, and I was in the Tesco on Cowley Road, and I think I just rounded the Polish section, and all I could do not to burst into floods of tears, because that was played so beautifully, and it was so genuine and true, and that's the kind of thing that happens, that people get to the end of their tether and they don't feel like they're worthy of everything, even though they are the person that holds the whole of that family together. And I just thought that story, whenever I think of, whenever I'm, people say that the Grundys are lightweight, I think, no, there's the real truth of the matter, and they can always go to that. And it's all about shading as well, is that when you do get that touching story contrasted against the lightheartedness of their usual antics, it means all the more, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. And there is, I mean, yes, you can say they're made like the comedy, you know, the comedy peasant sort of thing, but then you've got, you know, nobody is more of a comedy posh than Jennifer Aldridge or yeah. Linda Snell. You know, they have the piss taken out of them equally. I mean, Linda Snell sort of, or Jennifer's sort of an Audrey Forbes Hamilton and or a Margot Ledbetter. And
Linda's more of a Hyacinth Bouquet, you know, isn't she, I guess?
Yes. No, she's not. No, she's definitely not. Right. Susan is Hyacinth Bouquet. But there's a sort of, you know, yes, there are caricatures, but then, you know, that's what comedy comes from, really. And they're not that bad. And there's elements of the Grundys that are very, well, I suppose it's Eddie and Clary, maybe, is slightly caricatured, but Will and Ed, I don't think, are caricatured.
No, they're not. No.
No.
Long live the Grundys, except Joe.
Yes. Short live Joe, long live Russell.
Well, it's just a prediction. Yes. That's all. Mm. Right.
You'd like the Angel of Death, aren't you, flapping
what?
Around?
I've just gone down a rabbit hole, that's all. Do you think it's about time we had Tweet of the Week?
Go on. Why not? Dawn Oliver said, if this bloody wedding is back on, I'm punching someone. Mrs Trellis said, Grundy turkey customers will come down with dysentery from the free tumble tussock soida and spend the festive season on the bog. Paul Truman, he of the Refuge Charity, said, if the Christmas Eve episode does not have Harrison doggedly trailing Shula to Norway and confronting her over Matt in the ice hotel, I, for one, shall feel let down.
Marvellous.
Gareth said, things can only get better, said Shula, thus guaranteeing that she'll get eaten by trolls in Norway. And Jamie D is Tweet of the Week, who said, Linda says to Alan, to me you're captured doff. Alan fights the urge to tell her to... No, I can't think of an ending. There we go.
Oh, marvellous. Brilliant as ever. Thank you very much, our tweety friends. That's about it, isn't it?
It is about it.
It is.
Yes.
Do you want to do the bit in red?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. No, thank you for queuing me up so gracefully there, Robert. If you'd like... Sure, bit in red, isn't it? If you'd like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
And remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105. That's 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. You can find you can find Royfield and Lucy at Dumpty Dum. That's at Dumpty Dum on Twitter. Lucy is at Lucy V. Freeman, and I can be found at Naked Fingers. And that's our Crimbo episode. How wonderful. If you're doing anything wonderful at Christmas, please do not go on a roof because you might slip off. That's all I'm saying. We don't want any unnecessary dumpty-dum fatalities. Necessary
ones,
fine. If someone
on a market offers you a dead bird and a bottle of cider, say no also.
Yes,
stay off the absolutely. Roof. No hooch and dead dodgy poultry.
And if you're even thinking of having preeclampsia, don't bother.
Yep. Don't do that either. Yep. That's about it. I do sincerely wish everybody a very happy Christmas. And however you are spending it and whatever you are doing, do have a absolutely fantastic time. And thank you again for all your support this year.
I second that. I second that. Thank you very much for all the wonderful things that people say about this show, because we love doing it almost as much as you like listening to it. Now, I said this on the 200th. There are a couple of people who say, "Oh yeah, I listened to it on my commute in or whatever to work, and it just made me laugh out loud." And Lucy, you always make me laugh out loud. Royfield's a wonderful, funny bloke too. And like we said on the 200th, this is the best thing I do all week.
Yeah, yes.
Apart from getting pissed in the marsh on Friday night, but there we are. That's a different matter. Thanks very much, Lucy. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
Yes.
And here's to a wonderful 2018 in Ambridge.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.